sighed. "I'm getting ready for Easter," she said. Yes, she had a bunny suit and bunny ears for various parties where she would be asked to clown and candy Easter eggs, lots of Easter eggs. If you ask children what Easter is about, they'll probably say something about the Easter bunny. It's a common story, not very convincing or captivating, but cute and seemingly harmless enough. But the story of the Easter bunny tends to displace a much more compelling story, a true story, an amazing story that I'd like to tell you right now in a few words. The amazing story concerns a man, a carpenter who lived over 2,000 years ago in an obscure Roman province in a town called Nazareth. At age 30, the man hung up the leather carpenter's apron and began to speak publicly up and down the countryside. Religious leaders were ambivalent at best. Most felt deeply threatened because this ex-carpenter taught in huge outdoor meetings with compelling authority, and he healed people. Not just colds and fevers, but crippled limbs and blind eyes. On two occasions, he even brought people back from the dead. The religious leaders saw their orderly world spinning out of their control, and so they determined to eliminate the man. They infiltrated his inner circle so they could grab him away from public view. And once in custody, they engineered a trial behind closed doors and then put huge political pressure on the Roman governor to execute him immediately. Within 12 hours of his arrest, the man hung on a cross. 6 hours later, he was dead, seemingly a martyr to a glorious but hopeless cause. But there's more. The man did not resist his arrest and crucifixion. In fact, he had predicted it to his followers again and again. And he taught that his death would have incredible meaning, that he would give his life as a ransom for many. That is, his death would pay the ransom price for a multitude of people who were enslaved by their own sins and set them free. That's what he said. And on that cross, he prayed for his crucifiers, servantly enslaved in their sins. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And he died. A Roman centurion saw him die and said, "Surely, this man was the Son of God." A Sunday morning, the Sunday we call Easter, some women had come to complete the hasty burial, and they found the stone rolled back and the tomb empty. An angel appeared to them, saying, "He is not here, he has risen." This too, the man Jesus had foretold to his followers. Over the next 40 days, he appeared to his disciples and others, to even 500 at one time. And then he left planet Earth, promising to return. His spirit was poured out on his followers a few days later. Within a single generation, his followers traveled with the amazing story to all of the known world. Our world has never been the same, because where people believe the story, they find forgiveness, freedom, and meaning. They receive the Spirit of God themselves, and they begin to love. The story we tell is a life-transforming story. If we would tell it to our children and grandchildren, they would find that it is much more compelling than any Easter Bunny tale. The only appeal it lacks to our children and to our desperately needy world is that you pass tell candy Easter eggs. Tell the amazing story. It changes lives. But it also gives us hope. A school teacher who was assigned to visit children in a large hospital received a routine call requesting that she visit a particular child. The teacher took the boy's name and room number and was told by the teacher on the other end of the line, "We're studying nouns and adverbs in his class now. I'd be grateful if you could help him with his homework so he doesn't fall behind the others." It wasn't until the visiting teacher got outside the boy's room that she realized that it was located in the hospital's burn unit. No one had prepared her to find a young boy horribly burned and in great pain. The teacher felt that she couldn't just turn around and walk out. And so she stammered awkwardly, "I'm the hospital teacher, and your teacher sent me to help you with nouns and adverbs." This boy was in so much pain that he barely responded. The young teacher stumbled through his English lesson, ashamed at putting him through such a senseless exercise. The next morning, a nurse on the burn unit asked her, "What did you do to that boy?" Before the teacher could finish her outburst of apologies, the nurse interrupted her, "You don't understand. We've been very worried about him. But ever since you were here yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He's fighting back. He's responding to treatment. And as if he has decided to live. The boy later explained that he had completely given up hope until he saw the teacher. It all changed when he came to a simple realization. With joyful tears, the boy said, they wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a boy who was dying, would they?
All right.
This wonderful story invites us to celebrate the gift of life, even when all we seem to see around us is pain, disappointment, and brokenness. It shows us that on the other side of pain, there is resurrection. It reminds us of what is possible whenever there is hope. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the single most important event in world history. It is even more important than the cross in this way, that if Jesus did not rise from the dead, the cross would be meaningless for mankind. Jesus was perfect and would go back to be with the Father. The question was, would his death purchase eternal life with the Father for us? The resurrection proves that Jesus was who he said he was, and all the things he said were true. We know that now, but on that first resurrection Sunday, over 2,000 years ago, no one stood by the grave expecting the stone to roll away and Jesus to come walking out. In fact, most of Jesus' disciples were hiding away, afraid of being arrested. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of the Christian faith. Without the resurrection, the belief in God's saving grace through Jesus is destroyed. When Jesus rose from the dead, he confirmed his identity as a Son of God in his work of atonement, redemption, reconciliation, and salvation. The resurrection was real, literal, physical, raising of Jesus' body from the dead. The resurrection gives us hope that one day we will be spending eternity with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us partake of this bread. Let's partake of this juice.
We enjoyed our sunrise service at the park, and we enjoyed smelling Jesus for the very first time. And he smells so clean, and he even does a better job than Grandma did at washing the linens and the clothes and putting them out to dry. And we just had a wonderful time of fellowship, and they fixed a great breakfast for us at the soup kitchen this morning. And make sure that you tell Philip and Lois thank you for having the vision and the burden and the drive to do that today. And those of you that are in service with us today, I know this is Easter Sunday, but Easter Sunday is not a big holiday for us here, because a lot of our people travel during the holidays. And here, we have better attendance on our regular off days than we do on holidays. But we still worship God the same. And God wants to talk to us today. I feel 1,000 scriptures on my mind today. And it was very difficult to land on a scripture to use as a scripture text. And I'll read many scriptures in this short devotion today. But know this, that we are not just here to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. God wants to change us. Hallelujah. He wants to fix us. He wants to align us with him today. He wants to take everything that's upside down in our lives and turn it right side up. But that's not just words today. That's an actual thing that happens. It's something that you do and that God does with you. And it is a life-changing moment in your life that forever will leave you changed. The hardest thing, Sister Ashley, is going to find out about ministry and about working in the prison system and working with the men, the women who are incarcerated and those who are trying to reintegrate to society. It's not the problems that they have. It's not, but it's going to be facing yourself as you go out. And it's the thing that Jesus wants to change the most. He wants to change me. Hallelujah. The thing that needs to change the most in the preacher is the preacher. The thing that needs to change the most in the teacher is the teacher. The thing that needs to change the most in the saint is the saint. And of all the things that we work in labor to fix it and to align with God's will and His moral code and His ethical demeanor and His character and personality, and that is we got to let God change us. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets us, it causes us to trip into stumble. We've been on a journey since last year, ending 2018, with the 100-day challenge. How many remember how tough that was? How many of you came out of the 100-day challenge realizing you got a lot to change to do? Hallelujah. You didn't come out of the 100-day challenge patting yourself on the back. If you did, you need to have another 100-day challenge. But that was a challenge to us, to the church, to realize we need to let Jesus have more control in our lives. I'm going to read a scripture, and you can remain seated. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 13. I'm going to let this be the basis of what I want to speak about today. Oh, wow, it's only 11:12. We don't usually dismiss till about 12:45. I've got an hour and a half to bring preaching today. And I am going to shift away from the book of Matthew. There are some powerful things that we're about to preach about from the book of Matthew. Powerful things. And I can't wait to preach about them. I want to preach about them today. I want to preach about them now. But I'm going to wait till everybody's here. And I'm going to wait till Brother Stacy preaches what the Lord is laying on his heart. And Sister Gina is going to, she's going to give sign language too next week.
Okay.
let me make that clear. You. And we're going to have them minister to us next week. And because God is growing them into a ministry team. It's beautiful to see what God is doing amongst our leaders. Young leaders, middle-aged leaders coming up into the ranks of the church and taking a hold of the plow in front of our elders and saying, here, let me work that plow for a while. And elders, doesn't it feel good to let go of that plow for a minute? Hallelujah.
Yes.
And here the elders are going, it's beautiful to see what God is doing. Romans chapter number 10, beginning at verse number 8. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. You're not special today. Your problems are not unique. And God hasn't set you aside to ignore you and to leave you unfulfilled and unchanged. But it is the will of God that all of us should experience His indescribable love for everyone. Everybody say everyone.
Everyone.
For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. We are living in an upside down world. The title of my message today is Give Jesus a Call. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to give Jesus a call. Hallelujah. You hear somebody mouthing off and losing their cool. You need to look at them and remind them what the pastor preached on Sunday. You need to give Jesus a call.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sister Sue, when Brother Clemens is having trouble setting up that new tent and he gets ready to start throwing things around, you look at him and say, you need to give Jesus a call. Hallelujah. Brother Clemens, when Sister Clemens is climbing that mountain and she's saying, I'm not going to climb one more mountain, one more step, you need to look at her and say, you need to give Jesus a call. Hallelujah. Amen. For church, we need to call on the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Second Timothy 3, 1 through 7:13. You've heard this, but understand this. In the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. They will drag you down to hell with them. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. Verse 13, evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. The whole world that we live in is imprisoned in darkness and sin. Satan's deceptive devices are so effective. In the world that we live in, we have learned to find pleasure in sin instead of finding pleasure in worshiping God. We're in love with what God hates. And we hate what God loves. We even hate ourselves for it. But it seems that we are powerless to resist these carnal impulses. Isaiah 5:20, he prophesied, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter to sweet and sweet for bitter. We try to find our lives in this world, but we wind up losing them. We medicate our pain with pleasure. We seek to avoid anything painful or uncomfortable at all costs. And in the end, the pain that we would have felt is increased to unimaginable levels that drive us to the brink of insanity. Jesus came to turn the world right side up again. He came to teach us that the way to find our lives is to lose them. The way to comfort is through mourning. The way to victory is through submission. And the way to greatness is through serving. And it's already been quoted in John 3:16, 17, and 18. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn you. It's a terrible place to be under that spirit of condemnation. You failed. You weak. You backstabber. You wishy-washy. You weak-minded. You sinner. We feel that weight of condemnation and those hurled fiery accusations that come against us and punch culture into our hearts and into our minds. And we are raised in violence and anger and profanity and pain. And we are raised in a vacuum of hatred and bitterness. And we never know the warmth of the rays of love. And we never experience that comfort and that compassion and that protected, safe place in the arms of our parents. Because our parents are struggling with the same things. All of the world is weighted down and condemned in darkness. But Jesus didn't come to add to the pain. He came to take it away. He did not come to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Your salvation today is in Jesus. How many of you know that your salvation is in Jesus?
Amen.
But yet, you wrestle. Things were done to you. Things were said to you. Pain was inflicted on you. Offenses came down the path of your world. The devil has lied to you. The world has deceived you. And it has lured you and tempted you. And you have become full of dead men's bones. And even as believers, forgiven of our sins, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ living inside of us, yet we have not fully experienced the liberty and the freedom that there is in Jesus. The same Jesus that saved you from your sins is the same Jesus that can fix what's broken in your head. The same Jesus that washed away your sins and shed His mercy and grace on you is the same Jesus that can break the chains of addiction and habits and sins in your life. The same Jesus that said, I love you and I give myself for you. It's the same Jesus that can reach down into your emotions and your broken and crushed heart, and He can heal it and make it whole again. He wants to set our lives back on solid footing. He wants to break our negative, backwards, upside down ideas and habits that we have. He wants to get us back on the path that leads to life. And all we need to do today to get there is to call on Jesus. Hallelujah. Why do we always put Him off until the last? Why do we always send Him to voicemail? He's waiting by the phone and He is ready to answer your call. I like what was said in the first men's video that we watched. They were asking there, what did you learn or what did you appreciate the most about this video? What really jumped out at you by watching this video tonight? And the thing that hit me was listening to this man. He said he was giving a testimony about how he was living for God, but yet he was bound by sin. He was doing the best that he knew how to press forward, but there were things in his life. There was shame in his life. There was pain in his life that he had covered over and hidden away in a little treasured place. And so, but he began to speak about how when he began to call on the name of the Lord, when he began to call for the help of the brethren, when he began to address and allow God to reach in down deep into his soul and begin to cut out the cancers of shame and guilt and pain and sin that were inside of him, that his ministry began to flourish, that his walk with God began to increase, his understanding, his relationships, all of his life that had been suppressed, everything that had been being sabotaged by those hidden away darknesses. When he let Jesus shine his light on those things, it forever changed him, and he was able to become all that God had ever intended for him to be. I don't know about you today, but I want to become all that God ever intended for me. Resemble the man of God that was in his thoughts before.
life, a man that could truly love and parent his children as a father should, a pastor that could really care and preach and pray and lead the people like a pastor and a shepherd of God should, like a worshiper, amen, like the Son of God in relationship with him, walking in that garden daily in the cool of the day, like it was always meant to be. If I could only call on Jesus one more time
and let him have the access that he needs to get in there and work in those hidden away places. He is ready to answer your call. The greatest moments in my life, I'm here to tell you and put your theology on its ear, were not when Jesus saved me from my sins. It was a beautiful time of prayer and tears and grief. And it was a beautiful time of his acceptance and his pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon me. And it was a beautiful moment of transition in my life, being baptized in the waters of baptism by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you that when I sat in Jackson, Mississippi in the gymnasium and I began to call on the Lord and tell him, God, I'm full of hatred, I'm full of anger, and I'm full of bitterness, and I'm tired of living like this, and I want you to take it out of me. I'm here to tell you that that moment in my life, amen, was exponentially more life-changing and memorable than when I first received the Holy Ghost. It changed me. When he saved me, it made me a Christian. It made me a follower. It made me a believer. Hey, hallelujah. But when he removed the hatred and the bitterness that I had harbored, you can ask my parents, I was an angry young man. I punched holes in the wall. Everything made me angry. I was always angry all the time. And it sabotaged my relationships. It caused me to attract people who were broken like me. But when Jesus, hallelujah, reached, it was about 2 or 3 minutes into that prayer when I was calling on the Lord that Jesus reached his hand down and he grabbed a hold of a big fat wad of roots of bitterness and he yanked them up. And I'm telling you, every root that came out, there was a tear that was cried. Hallelujah. It was like regurgitating pure acid. It was like regurgitating hydrochloric acid. It burned when it came out. Hallelujah. The tears burned when they went down my face. And for an hour and a half, God cleaned up some things. Hallelujah. And it left me forever changed. It made me a different man than I was then. You never knew me then. Hallelujah. And thank God you never did. You thought I was dead when I got here. You should have known me before God changed me. And when God changed me, I started attracting different people into my life. And I attracted Stacy, Lynn, Tyree into my life. But that would have never happened if I had not called on the name of Jesus.
Right.
When you call on the name of Jesus, he will answer. But we don't call him. We don't give him that access. He knows you've got a problem. You know you've got a problem. And everybody around you knows you've got a problem. What are you waiting for? Let Jesus fix it. It can happen today. You know what was going on that service that I called on the name of Jesus? You know what special was happening in that gymnasium that day? Nothing. You know who the special speaker was that day? We didn't have one. You know what the special song was that really touched my heart today? There wasn't one. You know what kind of chill bumps and goosebumps and tears I was crying when I called on the name of Jesus? There weren't any. It's so hard, but yet it's so simple.
If we will call on the name of Jesus, if we will give Him a call on His Holy Ghost phone, God will hear you and He will save you and He will deliver you. And you'll say to yourself, man, I thought getting saved was good, but this tastes even better. Man, I thought being filled with the Holy Ghost was good and shouting in the aisles was fine. But when Jesus looked at me, and He said, today I'm coming to your house, Zacchaeus. When Jesus looked at me and He said, when you were under the tree, I saw you.
Oh, yes.
We need to call on Jesus today. David said in Psalm 34, verse 4, 5, and 6, I sought the Lord and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. A lot of new believers come into the church and they do get saved and they do repent of their sins and they do get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they do get filled with the Holy Spirit. But because they're attracted to what they see in the house of God. I want that peace. I want that joy. I want those fruits in my life. I want to have that calmness. I want to have that ability to see into the Word of God. I want to be like them. And they get in the church and they get saved. And they think to themselves, I thought everything would, well, how come? Hallelujah. But there's things we didn't tell you. We're like Amway. Hallelujah. And if you work for Amway, God forgive you. I mean, God would forgive me today. But... Hallelujah. There's things they don't tell you. Well, there's things we didn't tell you. But I got good news today. It's not bad stuff. It's some good things we forgot to tell you. That there's more to this than just being saved. Because any time or the day or night, you can call on Jesus and He will answer. We don't talk about it very much. About how much pain the church is in. About how much trouble and how much confusion and how many towers of darkness have been erected in the hearts and minds of the church people in our day and in our time. Hallelujah. But there is a battle. There is a war going on for the heart of the church. And God is trying to get access. And He's standing ready. Hallelujah. With the blood of Jesus. He's standing ready with His love and His grace. He's standing ready with His angels and His power to do anything. Waiting for somebody to give Him a call. Psalm 34 verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Some of us are in trouble and we know it. But it's not the kind of trouble that anyone would notice on the outside. We know there's something wrong with you, but we can't put our finger on it. We just chalk it up to crazy Uncle Bill, crazy Uncle Joe, crazy Uncle Tom, whatever. But we know there's something out of place. We know there's something wrong with us. But we don't know what it is. We don't know how to access it. We don't know how to tap into it. But yet we know someone that does.
That's right.
And yet we remain unmoved. We remain unchanged. We remain the same. God wants to change somebody in the house of the Lord today.
Amen.
It's time to start believing in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead. It's time to start confessing with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. It's time to start calling on the name of the Lord. And it's time to start experiencing salvation at a deeper level. I like what the writer, I think it was the writer of Hebrews, it may not have been him, but I'm pretty sure it was him, that he said that we should go on, not laying again the foundations, and go on to completion. God is calling the church to get themselves completed in Him. Hallelujah, to whatever pieces are missing, because there's no room for them, because some other wayward piece has found itself and mingled into the puzzle. Those things need to be removed from our hearts and our lives, because God, like Brother Stacy said, is moving the church out of the back 40 and right smack dab into the center of Fairfield, Illinois.
Right, come on, man.
And it's not going to be okay for you to keep acting like you have acted the past 10, 20, 30 years. It's no longer going to be okay for you to continue to fumble and stumble and get by as you have on the back 40. Because maybe when you're in the heart of what is going on and the devils and demons and the arrows and the fiery darts are flying, you better have yourself where you need to be in your relationship with God. And some of these sermons are a last call. Some of these sermons, amen, are a final roll call. Are you ready? Do you have all your armor on? Has every sin been cleansed out? Has every abuse and offense and bitterness and grudge been dealt with in your heart? You better get it taken care of now, or you're not going to survive the transition that is about to take place. You're not going to make it to the other side. You're going to I don't want to fall in the wilderness of doubt and unbelief and distrust of leadership and doubting the ability of God because I have some little quirk inside of me that God, I have never called on Him. Don't blame God for not fixing you when you haven't really called on His name like you said. Oh, you run into a prayer closet, but there's a lot of people going into prayer closets and coming out the way they went in. You didn't call. If you didn't get an answer, you didn't call.
Yes. Come on, man.
Oh, but I prayed to Jesus. No, you didn't pray to Jesus because Jesus would have answered you and He would have changed you and you would be different today. If you're still carrying around those same things, it's time for you to try a different approach.
Amen. Amen.
Psalm 3 and 4, the writer said, I cried aloud to the Lord, and He answered me from His holy hill. What is holding you back today? Hallelujah. Do you truly believe that if you ask God to help you today, that He will most definitely do it? Or are you so in love with your pain? And are you so intransigent in your way of thinking? And are you so lukewarm and lazy and apathetic in your walk with God that you like things just the way that they are? How many of you got some things that you've been wrestling with that you'd like to see God change?
Amen.
How many got some negative, stinking, thinking thoughts that Brother Stacy was talking about that you wrestled with for years that you'd like for God to change? I was talking to somebody the other day, I don't remember who it was. And I've mentioned this type of thing before to other people, so it could have been two or three different people that I've said this to, have spoken this to, but we violate our hearts what we know is good and true and right in the eyes of God. We don't do what we know we should do. We don't say what we know the things that we should say. We don't follow or respond to the impulses of the Holy Spirit's compassionate nature reaching out to the needy around us, and we feel guilty and condemned. And then we take it out on everybody around us.
Right.
Because we're not doing... Isn't it bad? You know, 9 times out of 10 people coming down on you, they're coming down on you because they're mad at themselves because they're not doing what they should. You're not mad at me because I didn't preach a good sermon. You're mad at yourself because you didn't pray enough. Because you didn't pray through enough to bring worship into the house of God that even the preacher that was half backslid could have failed a sermon in.
Right.
You came to church with all kinds of reasons and excuses why God wasn't going to move on you that day. Hallelujah. You came to the church with all kinds of reasons and excuses, and you got mad at somebody else when you should be mad at yourself, because you haven't been doing what God called the saint of God to do. It's time to call on the Lord and get ourselves sorted out. It's time to call on the Lord and ask Him to fix what's broken inside of us. It's time to call on the Lord and ask Him to get us off of our heads and back on our feet. Amen. It's time for us to call on the Lord and tell Him to get us off of our you-know-whats and get us back on our feet. Because there's too many saints that spend too much time on their you-know-whats. Hallelujah. They ain't got no footprints in the sand. But there's two nice little round footprints that are there. It's time for you to get back on your feet and call on the name of the Lord and start doing what God called you to do in the earth. To be a light, a city set on the hill. To be salt. Amen. That when people look around you, they go, oh, I like the way this tastes. Oh, I like the way this feels. Oh, the way that sounds. Where did you get that from? I want some of that in my life. Instead of being all watered down, tasteless. Hallelujah. It's time to call on the name of the Lord. It's time to give Jesus a call in our lives. When did we stop being obedient to Him? When did we start thinking that it was about us in the first place? When did we start believing that this kingdom was our kingdom and not the kingdom of the living God? When did we think that we were anything more than an unprofitable servant, and somehow God had grace on us? We're not worthy, Father, to be called your children. We just want to be servants in your house. When did we get the idea that somehow God needs us, or somehow that God needs to listen to us and do things the way we say that they need to be done? It's time that we get in the prayer closet and start calling on the Lord and start repenting of our lack of faith, repenting of our pride and our arrogance, repenting of our bitternesses and our rebellions against Him until Jesus comes in. Hallelujah. Like the one man that prayed as his head hung down and he beat his chest and he said, have mercy on me, a sinner. When was the last time you walked in the prayer closet and said, Jesus, sinner number one, showing up for worship? Apostle Paul said of himself, I am the least of all the saints because I persecuted the church. Amen. It's time to call on Jesus and allow Him again to have control, and as has been said, to sit on the throne of our hearts. Let's stand together today. It says in Luke chapter 11, verse 9 through 13, and I tell you, ask. Everybody say, ask.
Ask.
And it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives.
Amen.
And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Hallelujah. It's time for strongholds to come down.
Right.
I can hear cries in the hearts of the people of God. I know what you are feeling. I know where you are at today and what it's like to walk in a daze, to preach from your darkness, to lead worship from your depression and discouragement, to never waver, to never falter, but to be broken and lost inside. To stand and hold up the light
while your arm and your body goes into being numb and paralyzed from the effort. I know what it feels like to go into the battlefield with shield and sword and buckler, but yet to be wounded and bleeding in soul and spirit from being under the attacks of the enemy and his minions. And I'm telling you today that there is more to this than just being forgiven for your sins. That's not all Jesus came to do. He came to give us the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
Does anybody hear what I'm saying today?
Yes.
I posted on Facebook. This thought was really hitting me hard. That salvation is not a graduation from sin, but it is an enrollment. It is your matriculation into the school of Christ. You haven't graduated when you get saved.
Right.
You just got enrolled. And there's too many people that get enrolled in the school of Christ and never show up to class. They never read the first assignment. They never complete the homework. They never take any tests. You'll never graduate. You'll never know the depths of the glory of God. You'll never know the beauty of His suffering as He takes your upside down world and sets you right side up again. To teach you to embrace the pain. To teach you to love the things that He loves and to hate the things that He hates. He came to do more than just give you. So many people have received the gift of the Holy Ghost and they have never done anything with it but shout. Let me tell you something. When the Holy Ghost comes up on me, I like to shout. Hallelujah. Is there anything wrong with shouting when the Holy Ghost comes up on you? Nope. And there ain't nothing wrong with shouting when the Holy Ghost ain't coming up on you. That's a real shout right there. It's easy to shout when the Holy Ghost is on you. Woo! You can do all kinds of steps. You can play all kinds of chords. You can hit them licks on the guitar. You can throw them extra rolls in on the drums. You can slap and pop that bass. You can dance. You can shout. You can sing them beautiful notes when the Holy Ghost hits on you. But what can you do when the Holy Ghost ain't up on you? God is challenging the church today to call on Him. To let Him do more than you had let Him do in your life. He wants to change the way that we think. Until His mind is our mind. He came to heal our broken hearts. Take care of our emotional baggage. He came to heal the wounds in our hearts and souls. And He came to bring down the stronghold of lies that we have somehow come to believe are the truth. I'm here to tell you today that that lie is not truth. I don't care if they painted the same color as truth. I don't care if they slapped the truth label on it.
Amen.
It's time to grow up and get some taste buds going and be able to tell the difference between good and evil. Be able to tell the difference between the accusations of the devil and the condemnation of sin and human reasoning and the truth and the liberty that sets us free in Jesus. He can fill the darkest place in your soul. He can remove the deepest pain in your heart and replace it with what should have been put there aside. Jesus heard the cries of the demoniac. They were demonized and they were clinically insane, but Jesus set them free. He heard the cries of the Italian soldier named Cornelius and sent Peter there to preach the gospel. And God saved his entire household, even his servants.
Right.
If you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. He heard the cries of the sent the Apostle Paul there to preach at Philippi, and eventually he evangelized the whole continent. Call on the name of Jesus, and you will be saved. Everyone, anyone who calls on his name will be saved. He will hear your cry. He will supply your need. He will impart the knowledge and the wisdom that you lack. Don't you think it's long past time to stop trying to figure out things on your own? Don't you think it's time you give Jesus a call, really, truly, and deeply call on him? And let him change you. Hallelujah. Greatest miracle that ever will take place is the one that takes place in our hearts. As we bow our heads together, and as we meditate on this word, I know you may be hoping that we could have got out a little bit earlier, but you may have lots of things and ideas and things that you're going to run into, but you need to hear what I'm saying today. I told my wife, this is kind of personal, but we are examples to the church. And I told her a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, I said, you realize that when the church goes into revival, we can't keep doing things the way we've been doing. We've got to change. Our relationship, our marriage has to mature. The way that we pray, the way that we live, we've got to be more disciplined and be more careful, and we need to change. God is calling the church, preparing the church, because there is a greater work than this that he wants to do. And in order for that to happen, as Brother Stacy so ably said as well, there has to be change in the heart of the people in order to embrace. I've been praying lately, God, make me the kind of pastor that can pastor 100 people. God, make me the kind of pastor that can pastor 150 people. God, make me the kind of pastor that can, and I kid you not, I found myself, I don't know if you, I found myself in services recently in the past month, standing in the pulpit and saying things, and I'm thinking, man, bro, that's pretty. You started to sound like a pastor. And then I realized, God is changing me. He's answering my prayers. I'm seeing visions of us being at church downtown Fairfield, and I see visions of people coming. They've got their white shirts and ties on, and they've got their Bibles under their arms, and they're walking in downtown Fairfield. Hallelujah! They're walking in to the Jesus Name Pentecostal Church for worship. Hallelujah! There's a vision. There's a dream, and we've got to grow up into it. I don't care what I'm doing. It doesn't matter where I'm at to be anymore. What I have, what I don't have. The only thing that matters to me is who am I becoming in Jesus Christ. And the Lord is speaking to me and talking to me about my next decade of ministry and what's going to happen. I'm excited about it. And I appreciate everybody who is digging into their relationship with God and doing all that you can. So if you would like to come today, as every head is bowed, if you would like to come today and step out for a few moments of your day.